In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
So, what number did we hear in the gospel today? Does anybody know what that means or stands for in this passage? Because I have no idea. So, you know, there's 10 commandments, there's the parable of the 10 virgins, and, you know, various things like that. It's not even the 10 commandments aren't technically the 10 commandments, just the commandments that we've divided up into 10. But so if you figure something out, let me know. Shoot me a text or something. Otherwise, it's going to be a mystery for today. But we know through the four gospel accounts that speak of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he's going around, heals people of all these various sicknesses. You notice that? We have we hear about people who are dead, like Jairus' daughter or Lazarus, who brings him back from the dead. People have sickness, they have blindness, they're lame, they're demon-possessed, they're flowing with blood, etc. And there's no mention of healing anything else. There's always very specific things that he's healing of. It's like, you know, Father, I have an ingrown toe, or Christ, we have an ingrown toenail, we heal that. There's no mention of that. And there's a reason for that. Because each of these healings, these physical ailments that he talks about, represent spiritual ailments. So, for example, a lot of blind people, right? They're blind. We're spiritually blind. You know, we're blind to the works of God. We're blind to what he's doing. The lame, the fellow who's lowered down through the roof, or the man by the pool of Bethesda, wherever. We're lame. We can't get up to do good. How hard was it just to get out of bed to come to church today, right? Let alone to get out of bed and do good. And so all of these healings that he's doing represent spiritual ailments that we all struggle with. And so with that in mind, we go back and we consider the words of St. Luke today. How he tells us of an encounter Christ had with 10 men who had leprosy. And of course, leprosy is a disease of the skin. Basically, your skin starts to rot and fall off. It's pretty gross. Each of those men were rotting, and they were given to corruption. This corruption meant they could not go into the temple and offer sacrifice for their sins. Their corruption, the leprosy they had, represented their separation from God. They were isolated from him. They were alone, rotting, and dying. Now, all of us here today are held by corruption and death. We all know that that day is going to come when we're going to die. It's inevitable. And we know every day there's another gray hair or another hair falls out. We have another wrinkle. We have another ache or another pain. Our eyesight's not so good. We can't run and jump and do things. We can't turn our neck without throwing out our back. Our eyesight's a little bit worse. Our hearing's a little more muted. Eventually, it would all just collapse. Our lives, eventually, we know our end, to lie in our deathbed, quietly letting go of this world and dying. We are held down by our own form of leprosy, where our bodies are falling apart slowly. I know that can be hard. When I was young, that was not as obvious as it is to me as I get a little bit older. I'm not that old yet, but I'm getting there. It's coming for me. But Christ comes to us today as he did to those men, to those lepers. He calls us to return to the priest. And you'll note that he told them to do something, and they didn't say, why? Why should I do that? Don't you know I have leprosy? He just did it. That is what they did it. And so he's calling us too to return. To return to a life of prayer and sacrifice. A life united with our God again. And we do that. We follow Christ. We obey in faith. And in our faith and in our obedience, we are made clean. Make no mistake, obedience is very important. If Christ says, this is a hard one, Christ being God, God tells us, do not be anxious. Consider the lilies. So what do? We struggle to not be anxious. If Christ tells us to love our neighbor, we struggle to love our neighbor. If Christ tells us to love God, we try our best to love God. We get up every day and commit every day we're going to love him more and more. And so we obey in faith. And in that obedience, just like those 10 lepers that went to the priest today who were obedient, we are made clean. We are made whole. And more than just being made clean, because honestly, the point of the Christian life is to not be a good boy or girl, to be a clean, pure person. The point of the Christian life is to be restored to our God, which is only possible through Jesus Christ. Through him, we are restored. Through him, we are made whole. The rot in our flesh, that is slowly killing us, slowly eating away until that final day when we can no longer get out of bed and we take our final breath. Through Christ, we are able to return to God, to be in his presence, to enjoy communion with him again. We do not run from evil, we run to life. We do not fear evil, we love good, because love casts out fear. We are not trying to escape death, we are trying to find life. And while we enjoy healing through Jesus Christ, through our obedience done in faith, there is one more thing that's required of each of us here today for that healing to be made whole. Nine of the men received physical healing, but only one of them received spiritual healing as well. We look at our lives, and as we submit our lives to Christ, and he makes us whole, and he brings life back into our lives, and even though we grow old, and we can't walk, and we can't jump, and we can't even sleep, I don't know about y'all, but as the older I get, the harder it is just to sleep. Even though our bodies are falling apart, we're full of life. And as that life is born inside of us and we become lights to the world, we do this most important thing. We return to Christ and we give thanks. Glory to you, O our God, glory to you. We avoid the pitfall the nine men fell into when they received healing, but failed to complete that relationship. And make no mistake, we are here to enter into a more intimate and eternal relationship with God. He calls us, you know, the life of the Christian begins as a slave and then turns into a servant. And then eventually, as we grow in faith, we become his bride. We are here to be in a relationship with God and all that that implies. He gives us life. We give our life back to him. He gives us time. We give our time back to him. He gives us good things and we return to him a sacrifice of praise. We give him thanks. We see how he has changed us, how he's restored us and brought us back from the darkness, how out of his infinite love for us, he's returned us back to our state again. And we respond with gratitude. With gratitude. Do everything with thanks. It's a challenge this week. Some awful thing happens to you, your tire breaks down in your car or whatever, your tire gets flat. Just say, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know why you allowed this to happen to me, but thank you. Because I know you're saving me. Even today, in this liturgy, we draw our minds back unto him and to the good he's brought into our lives. I really challenge all of you today during the liturgy. If you can't follow along with this hymnody and the prayers and all those things in life are distracting you, whatever that thing is pulling you back, whatever that fear, concern you have, whatever that temptation is, give thanks. Something's happening in the liturgy, it's annoying, glory to God. Something's going wrong, glory to God. That thought comes back to you about that thing that's troubling you in life, glory to God. Give thanks to God for all things. We draw our minds back to him and all the good he's brought into our lives and the evil he's allowed for some reason. Now, you know what? I want to say thank you and admonish you all. You all have one thing in common. You're all here. You're all here. I can see all y'all. And there's probably some people over there I can't see. But you are obedient. That alarm went off this morning, and your body's like, no. But your soul's like, yes, let's go to church. And you came. You did like those the 10 lepers. You came to be cleansed, to be whole, to be made whole again, to be restored to your God. And now give thanks. In a little while, we're going to offer a Eucharistic. This is the Eucharistic celebration we celebrate today. Eucharist being thanks again. We are offered a sacrifice of praise and a sacrifice of thanks. The question is, if we go through life, and if you're really honest with yourself, yeah, you ain't got nothing. You go to God and you say, God, what do I got? I ain't got nothing. I'm nobody. I'm a poor man. You know, I'm the guy lying alongside the road to Jericho. What do I have to offer you, God? Your desire to love me, he says. All I want is your heart. All I want is your heart. Offer some praise and some thanks from the depths of your heart to God today in the middle of the Eucharist. If your mind wanders, draw it back. Just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you. Literally, just say those words. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you that my feet hurt. Thank you that The priest is a little off and is intoning on things. Thank you that, you know, the person behind me has really bad breath or whatever the thing is. Thank you, Jesus. Give thanks, sacrifice of praise. And we do all this because we know that we are giving who we are giving that thanks to. We are giving that thanks to the one who has rescued us from corruption. God bless each one of you today. May God hear our prayers and accept the sacrifice of praise and glory that we give to him today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.